On today's episode, Liz and I chat with Carly LeBaron about working through challenges related to faith differences, faith transitions, and interfaith marriages. She shares some very helpful tips and do's and don'ts for both partners, including the importance of flexibility, compassion, respect, and healthy boundaries. Dr. Carly LeBaron has a master's degree and PhD in marriage and family therapy and is a practicing therapist in Logan, Utah. She owns New Beginnings Therapy, a group private practice in Logan, where she specializes in women's mental, emotional, and relational health, faith crisis, faith transition, perfectionism, and people-pleasing, eating disorders and body image, couples therapy, and more. She's authored two self-help books, Shattering the Porcelain, Overcoming Perfectionism and People-Pleasing and Becoming the Real You, and Some Body to Love, 12 Weeks to a Better Body Image, and offers online courses in mental health through therapyinanutshell.com. In her spare time, she loves to write, read, garden, create, camp, and spend time with friends and family. She is married to her best friend, has three amazing sons, and a Shih Tzu named Bandit, who is in training to become a therapy animal. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. I'm Dr. Liz Hale, the psychologist, along with the professor, my friend, Dr. Dave Schramm. And together we have dedicated our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. Perhaps you or another couple you know and love are going through something we call a faith crisis or a faith transition. I find there are fewer concerns that can be as complicated or destabilizing as this topic inside the heart of a marriage and inside the hearts of the partners in them. That's why we are so grateful to share with you today insights from Dr. Carly LeBaron, who specializes not only in marriage, but specifically mixed faith marriage. Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection, Carly.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
We are really blessed to have you here. May we please start by asking you to share the difference between, we use these terms interchangeably, it seems like, a mixed faith marriage and a faith crisis or transition.
So ultimately a faith crisis, and some people don't like the term crisis, they'll use faith journey, is something has happened that has disrupted kind of the narrative that they have about their faith, about their belief system, about their religious practice. And so they go through this period of change where they either have to change their way of thinking or they change behaviors. And that destabilizes them as an individual, their relationships, just kind of the way that they live their lives. A faith transition is when somebody has made the decision after a faith crisis or a faith change to make some kind of actual change in the way that they practice faith. So some people, that means that they stop attending a specific religion, they disaffiliate with that religion, maybe they change to a different religion, or they no longer practice anything and feel more like they're spiritual instead of religious specifically. And then a mixed faith or interfaith, those are kind of interchangeable terms. Relationship or marriage is when one partner practices or doesn't practice a faith and the other partner has a different kind of faith practice. And so there isn't that same kind of, you know, one person is maybe a member of the Catholic community, the other person is a member of the Presbyterian community. And so there's just a difference in faith practices.
I get that. I love the faith journey. I think that's a lovely term, so I really appreciate that. There's got to also be a difference in how mixed faiths affect the foundation of a marriage, depending on when that mixed faith enters the picture, either from the very beginning of marriage, the relationship even, or after marriage has been established. Can you please say more about that?
100%. I think that's really foundational for a lot of people who have interfaith marriages. If the difference in faith exists before the marriage, then we're setting the stage for the marriage with those specific expectations already in place. But if it happens after the marriage, if there were already set expectations or what I call the marital contract, right? It's this unspoken agreement of what our marriage is going to look like moving forward. If it happens after the marriage has already taken place, there's this sudden change of that marital contract, and that makes it really difficult to navigate because we had this expectation going in and now it's completely different.
And talk about betrayal, right?
Yes.
And the betrayal on both sides, I understand.
100%.
An individual partner believes that they've been betrayed by their faith, their family faith. Yes. Suddenly it's not right or true or doesn't work for them. And then the other partner feeling betrayed by their partner.
Yes, I think that's the word I hear most often is I feel betrayed. It really is a loss.
Yeah, man. And we're going to dive into this more, Carly. Again, thanks for coming on. We are so grateful to have, because this is a big topic, I think, for, I know many couples, right, who are experiencing this and they're struggling. What are some of the, let's first talk about mixed faith and interfaith couples. What are the most common challenges that you see with mixed faith, interfaith couples who they may have to try harder, right? For
yes,
than the average couple to really hear and respect where the other's coming from and give space for two different believing paths.
Yes. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there. There's this active kind of struggle. And when I think of struggle, I don't necessarily think of like it's inherently bad or difficult. I just think of struggle where it's like this active kind of, thoughtfulness. It's this active movement where you have to be more mindful of all of the decisions where you have a couple who shares the same faith. Maybe they're already on the same page because culturally that's what has always been done. That's what we expect. But for couples that have a different faith tradition or a different belief, different activity level, a lot of the common struggles that they face are trying to blend those two differing faith traditions, or if one person has a faith tradition and the other person doesn't practice a specific religion, trying to find where the common ground is, because sometimes it feels like it's on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Easter or Christmas, I mean, or other just cultural traditions and weekends and what we do and how we celebrate, yeah, can all have to be. You mentioned the word before we start, flexible. This flexibility, I think, is key. What we're talking about here, right?
Yes.
I'm curious now. I've got another question. How can a faith crisis or a faith transition, this faith journey, these faith challenges impact a couple's relationship if the discovery happens after, right? The marriage has been established with faith based. You have these expectations, and then bam, there's this change. You talked about it a little bit, but those are the couples really that I know is that this is, hey, we're growing up and this is what we're both on track. We're both headed in the right direction. And then it's like, I don't know anymore. And one is like, wait, what do you mean? And it's challenging. What do you see in your practice?
It is. Those are typically the couples that I do see come into therapy, that we had this expectation, things were going great. And then a faith crisis or a faith journey, a faith shift happens. And now we have to figure out what we do with that, because you know, before where we were going to church together, you know, every week, now one person doesn't want to go to church and now the kids want to stay home. And now do we do all of these rituals and traditions that are so important to our faith practice before this happened? And so I think the impact feels significantly greater if the faith transition happens after the marriage has already been established, because now a lot of that marital contract has been violated. We agreed to XYZ, and now you're changing the contract. And Liz, like you mentioned, that term betrayal comes up a lot. It feels like a betrayal of our agreement, of our vows. And the other partner's feeling like, you know, all just coming to light all of these new pieces of information that have created a shift for me. That feels like a betrayal because I didn't have that information before we got married. So it can be an incredibly painful shift for those couples that had that kind of established expectation.
So Carly, I've heard you mention this really changes the marital contract. Yeah. So what can couples do to update this marital contract when they're going through these different faith journeys and transitions?
Yeah. A big piece of this is to take the marital contract, even just temporarily, outside of a religious expectation. And I really help couples work on, let's talk about values, because even if your religious practice has changed, odds are your values haven't so significantly shifted that you need to make as many changes as you think you need to make. So if we can shift the conversation away from religious expectations and start talking about, you both still, you know, value honesty. You both still value charity, education, to see how much they still have in common even after the shift can really help restabilize that relationship. And then we can build that new marital contract based on values that they hold instead of on religious expectations.
Yeah, that is really a great point. I'm trying to think, gosh, there was William Bennett. I'm trying to think, there was this great book Do you know what I'm talking about? William Bennett, really thick book on values, it might be called, on values. But just to help couples realize that there can be conversations outside of religion that are about the things we still really hold dear, right? Like honesty and kindness and service. And that's just such great points. What are some of the common mistakes that we make trying to navigate this mixed faith relationship? What do you see most common? I see just a lot of pain and heartache, right? And anger, by the way.
Yeah. And I don't even think I qualify that as mistakes. Like, I see so much reactivity. I think that's the first thing that I see with couples is, if you think about it, like the rug has been pulled out from under them and they're just panicked. They feel scared. They feel angry. They feel betrayed. I think the biggest mistake that I see couples make is they get really rigid, right? They lock themselves into their position and they don't want to hear it and they don't want to consider other perspectives because they feel very protective. I don't think it's because they're trying to be a jerk. I just think we kind of go into this self-protection mode and we're trying to figure out how can I keep myself safe and stable? And so they just lock up, they freeze up, which makes it really hard to navigate change if you're stuck in rigidity. I also see, you know, defensiveness comes up really often, especially in session with couples that, you know, I have all of these very angry, reactive feelings. And I think there's space for that. We just have to make sure we don't live there.
Mm-hmm. So some individual therapy, I suppose, could help, right? I could take things to an individual therapist. I can really let my heart, my heartache out. And
yep. And that's what I tell couples. There are some things while you're talking about these kinds of things that you might not want to tell to your partner because that's too activating or traumatizing or triggering for them. But find other supportive people that your partner feels comfortable with you discussing these kinds of things, whether that's, you know, a spiritual leader, a close friend, a family member, an individual therapist. Find someone. We talk about kind of like the yuck, right? Like, find someone to dump the yuck on that's appropriate so that when you come back, you're not always just dumping all the yuck on your partner.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. Carla, are there, keep going with this. Are there other skills? Are there tips? And maybe for both, right, partner? What do you say for the one who's has the shift? And what do you say? Are there some kind of almost some do's and don't's? Like, here's some common mistakes that I'm doing.
I'd love to hear
some of those. Mm.
Some of the do's and don'ts, especially where there's a lot of emotional reactivity that come up, the first don't that I come up with is don't start attacking the character of your partner. That your partner, and this is for both the person who's gone through the transition and the partner who has been pretty consistent in their practice, your partner is suffering. Your partner is in pain. I have yet to meet a single person in the, you know, over decade that I've been doing this work who made these kinds of decisions lightly. It's often an incredibly painful process. So try not to attack the character of your partner on either side and try to understand that their pain is different from your pain, but it's still just as valid. So one of the things I really encourage people to work on if they haven't already is try to learn some emotion regulation skills because you're going to have some really hard conversations with your partner in therapy, out of therapy, both. And if you can't regulate those really hard feelings, if they just keep exploding out of you anytime that you feel them, it's going to be almost impossible to move past those really big, valid feelings and move into having conversations about how do we, you know, start the healing process? What things can we change? How can we create a new foundation for our relationship? So, you know, regulating emotions, communication, conflict resolution. A big one is validation. A lot of people think that validation means agreement. And so they can't validate their partner if they feel like they're on opposite sides of the spectrum. Because if I say, I understand where you're coming from, it means I agree. But that's not what validation is at all. It's, I understand your perspective and your perspective matters to me. It's valid to me. It's important to me. I can completely disagree with it, but still validate that that's hard for you and that that's caused pain.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Would you be willing, Carly, to share one of your success stories of a couple that went through this faith journey where one left and one stayed in the marital religion, and how they're doing today in real life? How does this look for them?
I would love to. One of the things that's hard for me is that there's so many success stories, which I think takes people by surprise, because it does feel
really I just left like music to my ears as a marriage therapist. There are many success stories. Good for you, Carly.
Yes, it feels really insurmountable. It does. Almost every single couple that I have ever counseled through a faith transition like this has come in almost completely hopeless. They're devastated. They're betrayed. One of the couples that I'm thinking of in particular, they were both, I practice in Utah, so a lot of my couples are a member of the LDS religion. So they were both foundationally LDS, grew up that way, got married in the LDS temple. So they had a very specific marital contract. We're going to go visit all the temples. We're going to go to the temple on some, they had all these expectations about rituals and traditions that are rich in their faith practice. And the husband had a faith transition about, I want to say about 4 or 5 years into the marriage. And so it was still a pretty young marriage by my estimation. And so it felt incredibly destabilizing. He felt like he had to keep it secret for a really long time because he didn't want to devastate his partner. He was so worried about the impact. And so they came into therapy after he disclosed that he'd had this transition. He didn't want to attend religious practice anymore. And we worked really hard for a really long time. And one of the things I remind people when they come into marriage therapy for this reason is that there are probably 15 other problems with your marriage that you're coming in with. And this just feels like it's the only one. And so we're not only, you know, trying to help clients process through the faith transition and all the different areas it impacts, but all the pre-existing issues that you had in your relationship are going to get flared by this. So we worked with that couple for quite a long time. And I worked foundationally, like I mentioned, with the idea of value. We're going to start by building value. And they were shocked by how similar their values still were, even though they were now felt like they were on completely different sides of the spectrum with religious practice. So we created a family coat of arms, right? Like, this is what we want our family to stand for. These are the things that we want to teach our kids. And then we started talking about how all of the other areas of their life are impacted. So your social relationships, your relationships with your family, you know, all work. There's every single part of your life is impacted by this change. And so we started breaking down how do we process this change? And the beauty of this couple is that they really, really loved each other and they wanted to make it work. And they were willing to be flexible. They were willing to say, hey, I know this is important to you. If you want me to attend a church service with you or a baby blessing with you, I will come. You know, if you want to stay home and you want to do a faith practice, that's something different. If you want to go and, you know, go running and that's your faith practice, then there was flexibility for that. And that helps couples shift through that couple. I don't think I've seen them for probably 4 or 5 years. And they are doing phenomenally well. The last point of contact I had with them, they were expecting another child. They had this new foundation. And they told me at the end, which was really powerful, I think our marriage is better after this happened than it was before, because we've had to put active effort into it every single day. And now it's stronger than it's ever been. Like, I get the chills even just talking about it right now. It's incredibly powerful.
I did too. Wow. Active effort.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Well, good for them. Good for you. That's impressive.
So as you mentioned a couple of these, Carly, I'm just thinking with the religious practices, hey, do we go to church or do they stay home? And what are you going to teach them or tell them? Or do we pray or do we read things together? Some of these like religious, I would say practices, you know, or traditions, these, what we do together. I mean, some of that I imagine is like, hey, no, we're going to teach them this or that. And yes, that can get to be the sticking points, I imagine. At least some of the couples that I know, that's where it's been.
Yeah. So we talk about rigidity and flexibility a lot in this process. And we talk about how only teaching one right way feels rigid, because whether you're only teaching this partner's right way or this partner's right way, they're missing part of the story. So I say, let's broaden it. Let's open up the window more. You know what? Mom believes this and Dad believes this. And those things are different. What do you guys think about those different things? What do you believe? So we're creating a space where we're talking about the fact that people believe different things, and that's okay. We're not judging it. We're giving people the space to believe, to practice what feels good, as long as it doesn't cause harm to other people. So we're creating more space in the marriage. We're creating more space in the family with our kids. A lot of my couples will talk about choice, that choice becomes a really important value in their homes after a faith transition. So we'll talk about how do you extend choice to your children in the way that they participate or don't participate. And a lot of times it depends on their age and their maturity level, but to give some freedom, not just to your partner, but to the other members of your family to talk about, well, I'm wondering about this, or I'm curious about this. And you know what? You guys are welcome to come to church with mom or stay home with dad, or you're welcome, you know, to go to this activity with dad, or you're welcome to go do something different with mom. That we're still creating enough space in the family that everybody gets to have choice.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one of the concerns my couples will have on that, Carly, is that, well, of course the kids are going to stay home.
Yes.
Of course the kids are not going to go to church.
I mean, as a child who doesn't want to stay home.
Yeah. Yeah. Or sometimes as an adult. Yes.
Yes, we're all guilty.
Even believing adults. But is that true? Is that true that do some children say,
yes,
I really do want to embrace the religion, or do more kids want to stay home?
Huh. Yep. I think it's kind of a split. The younger kids usually, because they have that social connection, a lot of times if they've already established, like, well, I just want to go to church and be with my friends on Sunday. Great. And we'll talk about if Sunday's your Sabbath and that's the day that you're going to church, we'll talk about what are our faith promoting practices. If you still want Sunday to be a faith promoting day. So you're not just staying home to watch cartoons all day, right? Like if one partner is going to church and the other partner is like, you know what, I want to listen to music that makes me feel good, or we're going to go out into the mountains and we're going to have conversations about nature. So talking first about what that day looks like. So we're still okay with the choice that our children make, but we're still offering them the opportunity to make the choice.
Yeah.
Very good. I like that. Let me set this up, how this will look if you stay with dad or mom at home. And yeah, that's very fair. I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
I do too. Carly, I imagine some of the stresses about this, the whole situation, comes from outside of the relationship. We're not, you know, extended family, friends, neighbors, members of the congregation, in-laws, outlaws, all this. And it's, what recommendations do you have for couples to kind of, I don't know, protect themselves from some of the well-meaning, but man, they're harmful forces and opinions and judgment and mean things that people can say, that all that kind of, I mean, well-intentioned, like, I want to help you type of a thing, but it just comes across as, man, this is too much for us.
Yes. And I think that's been my experience with most of the couples that I work with, that people are well-intentioned. They're trying to help, they're trying to support, but they're doing it in a way that's not helpful to the individuals. And it's definitely not helpful to the marriage. So we'll spend some time talking about we're creating boundaries between husband and wife, but now we also have to create boundaries around. We have to create a boundary around the marriage that you guys have made the decision by coming to therapy to work on your marriage, to make it work. And so we want to create some protections, and that's where we have to set boundaries, even with well-meaning people, you know, like, hey, this is a conversation that I don't feel comfortable with. You know, I just need you to trust that me and my partner are doing our thing. We can also just say, hey, I'm appreciative. I'm grateful for your concern, but we've got this. We're working on it, because you're right. There is so much on the external, especially when you're practicing a religion, that impacts every layer of your personhood, you know, from where you go, where you don't go, what you wear, how you speak, who you associate with, like all of these different levels. Especially if it's a long held family tradition, a family faith tradition, there's going to be a lot of opinions. And so having to balance, you know, that I'm grateful to take people's opinions into account, but I also am requesting respect towards me, my partner, and our marriage, because this is the choice that we've made.
Yeah.
What is your advice for the in-laws, outlaws? What if some of us are standing by and we're seeing our adult son and daughter really struggle with this. And it's hard for us because maybe we're in the religion, or we agree we're out of the religion, regardless of where we stand. How can we offer our love and support and kind of wrap support around that beautiful couple?
I think being able to set aside your own biases is really challenging for us as human beings in general. But sometimes people go wrong when they come in with an agenda. well-meaning people will come in and have an opinion about what they should or shouldn't do. So I would say the best way to support this couple or these kinds of couples are to set aside your own agenda or your own biases about what they should and shouldn't do, and just approach them with compassion. If you can remember that they're struggling, that this is painful, not just for the person that you agree with, but for the person that you disagree with, and to be able to offer like, hey, we love you. What can we do? If you ever are concerned about a specific topic, ask for consent before you discuss it. Are you comfortable with me talking to you about XYZ? Because again, we're creating a space of choice. And if they're not comfortable talking about it, respect the boundaries that they set and say, hey, what's another way I can support you guys? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they just need someone to ask what support looks like for them, because it's going to be different for every couple.
How can I support you? Yeah. What about inside the marriage? Please, Carly, if one person, let's say, who's left the religion and they really kind of want their partner to leave also, because surely if you could see what I see, you too would be alarmed.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. And so they want to do this convincing stance of, you know, come with me, or let me tell you all the things that are wrong with your faith. I would imagine that's a bit of a warning that you might offer couples.
Yes, always. And that to me is about respect, that you're asking your partner to respect your transition away. You need to equally respect your partner's decision to stay. So if they come to you and they ask for that information, double check, be like, are you sure? Do you really want to know? If not, then have those discussions, because sometimes people feel like they want to kind of force their partner to follow their path, because they're still in grief. They're still angry. They're still sad. They're still betrayed. So we'll talk about where's an appropriate place for you to go and continue processing that grief so that you can get to a place of acceptance, that you feel secure in your own choices, and that you can give every person in your life, your partner especially, the freedom to do what feels best for them.
That is lovely. Thank you. That's beautiful. You know, before marriage, even when young couples are starting out who enter in marriage with two different sets of beliefs, what's your advice from the start? And do you ever warn these hopeful couples that this is not going to be an easy road and perhaps they might need to work harder than others? Or is that not true? Or is it like similarity? It seems like is kind of emotional money in the bank. Do you give them that forewarning that this may not be easy?
I would say yes. I feel like not saying that things might be more difficult for you if you're coming with different sets of values. But I also argue with all of my clients, if I can get them premarital, then that's the best thing ever to me. It's just like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If couples come in and I'm like, hey, this is going to be different for you, but it's going to be different for this other couple who was raised in the same religion, but comes from two completely different ethnic cultural backgrounds. So taking into account that everyone's going to come into marriages, even people who participate in the same religion, maybe their parents, right? One person's parents did the, you know, you stay in your Sunday best all Sunday. We don't participate in these activities. And the other person's the same religion and had a completely different expectation, right? We went out to eat. We went golfing. If you're coming in with different expectations, my first advice for those couples is figure out what your expectations are. A lot of times, they're implicit. We have expectations that we don't even recognize we have until they're violated. So if you can figure out what your expectations are of your partner and the marriage and the religious practices, then you can communicate those to your partner. They can communicate theirs. And then you can identify the differences before they happen. Not all of them, but a few.
Yeah, always surprises, right? And then come up with some sort of compromise, a win-win.
Yes. In how do we handle this before there's a lot of emotional reactivity around it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, such great advice. Carly, in this part of our interview, we like to ask each of our guests one particular question, and that is, what do you believe is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
That's such a good question. I think the most successful couples are willing to change. I really believe that having flexibility in your way of thinking, flexibility in your perspectives, being able to exercise empathy around change, because every single marriage, you marry one person, And every morning you're waking up to a completely new person, right? Like you have to be able to roll with the changes. So if you can be flexible, if you can recognize, okay, this is maybe where I'm stuck and I need to change. If I can approach my partner and request change, those are the couples that I see deeply in love for years in these wonderful functional partnerships, not just marriages, but true partnerships are the people who are willing to change over time.
Yeah.
When my husband says to me, gosh, Liz, you've changed so much in the movies. I'm going to tell him that Dr. Carly said that.
Yes. And my answer is we're supposed to. Yeah. When people come to us and say you've changed, I say you're supposed to.
That's exactly right. Well, where can our podcast friends go to find out more about you and your practice, Carly, and your marriage vision statement? I love that, by the way, as well as about you have another unique specialty focusing on women's mental and emotional health and well-being.
Yeah. So my practice is New Beginnings Therapy. We're in Logan, Utah, and we specialize in women's mental, emotional, and relational health. So we have basically any kind of specialized focus that is women based. So we have somebody who is a Postpartum Support International certified perinatal mental health specialist. So postpartum, peripartum, infertility, infant loss, like really difficult things that women face around that. We have trauma specialists. We have eating disorder specialists. So a lot of the really unique things that women experience in their life, we have somebody trained chronic illness. So we have a really broad spectrum. So our goal is to help empower women and the people in their lives to live the kinds of lives that they want to live. And that includes, you know, mixed faith couples, faith transition, faith crisis, adolescence, college age, like it's just this big life course for so many of us to be able to manage those challenges with somebody who's firmly in your corner, rooting for you and helping you. And you can find more about us on newbeginningstherapy.net.
That's wonderful. Is it all in person, Carly? Anything online?
We do both. We do We do in person and we do online. I'm also licensed in Idaho because I'm about 30 minutes from the Idaho border. So I can do some virtual with some people in Idaho just in case they don't want to, you know, cross the border on a snowy day. So
you're offering a real gift. That's just great.
It really is, Carly, in the areas that I feel like so critical today. We're talking faith challenges and stresses, mental health challenges and stresses for women and the struggles. Man, we just need to multiply you and spread you out across the whole state, Carly. So thank you. Let me ask you our second question. We like to ask all of our guests is really their takeaway. If you were to compartmentalize, you know, what is the one, you know, piece of advice that you hope our listeners will remember from our discussion today?
I think my biggest takeaway as we've chatted today is that if you can keep in mind that you're suffering in your way and your partner's suffering maybe in a different way, that it softens couples to be able to have these hard conversations because you love your partner and you don't want to see them suffer. So if we're able to kind of create a space where it's okay for both of us to be hurting at the same time, it opens up a lot of conversations instead of shutting things down with defensiveness.
Yeah. Ah, so good. Yep. I echo that for sure. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day from our discussion with Carly?
You know, I love that whole idea of that validation doesn't necessarily mean agreement. It really just means your perspective matters to me, which really means you matter to me.
Yes.
So Dave, what nugget of wisdom do you hope that we're all going to take away from our time together with Dr. Carly LeBaron?
So good, Carly. I appreciate all the insights and the tips and the helps. I think this is going to be really helpful for a lot of couples. That what stood out to me is respect, boundaries, compassion even. That's one of my favorite words. And then being, we can still, even if we have differences, we can still be kind. You can still be choose to be kind to each other. And you can, the journeys, they can be separate. It's difficult. It's challenging, but be respectful of each other and even negotiate when you're negotiating with kids and practices and things. Kindness, above all through the challenges, you can still choose to be kind. Carly, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for coming.
Course.
We're so grateful for your time today.
Of course. Anything I can do to help people feel more hopeful, because this does, it feels really scary to the people who are in it. So I just, anybody that's out there that's struggling with this, we see you. Like, go get some help, go get some support, because you deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah. Carly, you mentioned that. Can I just, one more thing before we let you go? And it just popped into my head. Couples that are thinking, okay, you know what? Let's go see somebody. Oh, we're not going to go see someone of your faith. Well, we're not going to still see one. You know, have you seen that? Honestly, is that kind of a struggle? Is like, how do we even see a therapist? Because they're going to be on your side or my side. You know that kind of concern?
Yes. I always encourage them, find somebody who has really good boundaries around their own stuff, right? As therapists, we all have our own biases because we're people. A good couples therapist leaves their biases outside of the therapy room and wants to work for the good of the marriage and doesn't work for the good of one partner over the other. So find somebody that most therapists will offer free phone consultations. Find some people in your area, call around, talk to them about that specific concern that we don't want anybody siding, and listen to what they have to say about it. If they talk like they can be neutral and that their focus is the marriage and not on, you know, one person practicing a religion or not, then they're probably a good fit for you. And don't be afraid if they're not a good fit to try to find somebody else. Not every therapist is a good fit for everybody.
Yeah. Oh man, another super helpful tip that I know a lot of couples want to know. How do we get started? What questions to ask?
Totally.
Super helpful. Oh, Carly, again, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. And
that does it for us this time. Thanks, friends, for joining us on another episode of Stronger Marriage Connection. We'll see you next time.
And remember, it's those small and simple changes that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org. where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.